the innovator of bombs, Tommy Dreamer. You're listening to UWO, giving you all your wrestling action and podcasting to the extreme.
You just split.
Say it, Kyle. Say it.
UWO Podcast. I'm Kyle Chapman. That's Brian Lopes.
Howdy ho, Winslow.
That was the worst fucking song ever. No mind just did this song, man. And the fact that you made me experience that again.
Yeah. In its entirety.
I'm gonna cry in the car.
Most likely.
I'm gonna cry. I have been assaulted. Oh man. Anyway, sorry about yesterday. We both had some shit going on.
Yeah.
And we just said, fuck it, let's do it tomorrow.
Yeah. And here's tomorrow.
And we promoted it.
Yes.
Like MLW.
Ha ha. That's so promotion.
What we saw.
Did you want to start where we were discussing prior to this?
Let's get it.
All right. Obviously, we just played the track, so let's be transparent. Bam! Melly Mel. All right. Now, I'm not just going to talk about Melly Mel, but for those of you who don't know, August 11th, this past Friday, was known as the hip-hop 50th birthday. So, 50 years old for hip-hop. It's old as shit, just like Melly Mel, who gave us that fucking brilliant...
That masterpiece?
That song is going to live on for infamy.
It is almost as good. Almost as good.
Almost.
As Macho Man's Being a Manhood.
Not almost.
Almost. See?
It was almost that good.
Put almost in that car, what are we selling out?
I think you ain't wrong. You ain't wrong about that. Oh, Mr. Impact just showed up. What's going on?
Mijo in box.
Alex, what's happening?
Senor Soft.
You guys know what to do. Taggy peoples, get their asses in here. I know it's a Tuesday night. It's we're one day off.
What the fuck else are you doing?
Yeah, for real. You watching NXT? Y'all watching NXT with us? We do have NXT on, just so you guys know.
Yes, sir.
So NXT is there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But no, I wanted to play a little game with you. Like I said, it is hip hop.
Stop hating, Alex.
This is hip-hop's 50th birthday, and us being the urban world order. And
yeah, we urban, baby.
Yeah, so, pigment and whatnot. I wanted to bring something up to Kyle, and I want you guys to play along, too, while we're getting everybody in here. We're going to get to the wrestling talk in a bit. But I've been listening to Hot 97 in New York, Ebro in the Morning, for the past, couple years, doing my driving thing. And for the past 25 weeks, leading up until the 50th hip-hop anniversary, they've been doing this thing where they've been getting... fans voting every week. They would list 10 songs every week from different eras, from 79 to 85, 1991 to 1996, 2005 to 2011, and they were just breaking off songs and they were putting them in categories to see what fans would vote in, because they would only vote 2 out of the 10 songs to be added to a list of the 50 greatest hip hop songs. Now, since it's now past the anniversary, the list is officially done. So, Kyle, I wanted to give you a thumbs-up, thumbs-down game.
Let's get it.
I'm going to tell you a song. You let me know if this song deserves to be in the top 50 greatest hip-hop songs of all time.
I got a fast song.
And you got a thumb?
Look at the mirror and see what's going on.
Song number one. And I'm going to try to do this as quick as I can. Nas, If I Rule the World. Thumbs-up, thumbs-down.
Bing.
All right. Eric B. and Rakim, Paid in Full.
Bing, bing.
All right. Notorious B.I.G., Juicy.
Bing, bing, bing.
All right, representing for the ladies, Queen Latifah, UNITY.
Yes.
All right, Kanye West, Through the Wire.
No.
Okay. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, including Melly Mel, The Message.
Yes, that's one of the most important songs in music history, not just hip-hop. All
right, Nas, New York State of Mind.
No.
Okay, for the young guys, representing for the younger crew, J. Cole, No Role Models.
It's not even... Top 5 J. Cole songs.
That was a lot of arguments. Hey, really quick, let me give you the quick criteria. Longevity, cultural impact. It can't be, a gimmick song like Ice Ice Baby or Can't Touch This or I'm on a Boat by Lonely Island. So it has to be something with cultural relevance, staying power, shit that still gets played to this day.
Yeah, that's not J. Cole's.
No. I'm just saying, for the, when you think about these songs. KRS-One, Step Into My World.
Oh, fire, but that's not even top five KRS songs.
Okay. Representing the Underground, Mos Def, Miss Fat Booty. Oof. You remember, there were categories. Oof. So this was a category during that time period.
That's that can go either way.
Unfortunately, never going to give you Up's Not on the hip hop list, even though it's a great fucking song. Great fucking song, by the way. All right, Wu-Tang, Cash Rules Everything Around Me. All right, The Far Side, running,
Passing Me By, maybe, but not Running.
That's what I said too, because I personally prefer Passing Me By. Mm-hmm. A Tribe Called Quest, Benita Applebaum. Got it going on.
That's not the Tribe Called Quest song that they put on.
Unfortunately,
there.
That one made the list.
No.
It made the list.
Scenario.
It made the list.
Electric Relaxation.
There's still more songs, Kyle.
Okay. Yeah,
no, there's still more songs.
I'm gonna pass on that one.
Run DMC, Sucker MCs. I'm the king MCs. Of rock. There is none higher.
That's King Sucker. Of Rock. That's not Sucker MCs.
Oh, that's what they put it as. Unfortunately, yeah.
It's not the same song. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's what they put.
Anything from Run DMC deserves to be up there.
Okay, here we go. This one is definitely a down for me. It makes no sense. Kanye West, So Appalled.
No.
That's what I said. God, no.
No, it's not even top five Kanye song.
For party anthems, we have Annie Up, The Remix with Busta and Remy Ma.
Aw, man, how was the WrestleFest you did at Mount Warwick a few weeks ago? Hold on real quick.
Yes. Is that Congo? What up, Congo?
Of course that's Congo, man. It was excellent. I met a lot of my fans, you know. I also gained a lot of weight. Wow. That man didn't hit the gym at all when he retired.
I ain't saying a damn thing.
But God.
All right. Special Ed, I Got It Made. Represent the old school.
Maybe I'm the Magnificent. Man, I Got It Made.
All right. Jay-Z, Where I'm From.
That's not even a top five Jay-Z song.
Jay-Z, The Story of OJ.
Fuck no.
Thank you, because I said that too. The list, Carl, I know you just joined in.
What up, DJ Bird?
Speaking of which, you're a DJ, so your input would be good on this too. Hot 97 for the past 25 weeks has been doing the 50 greatest hip-hop songs of all time. It's a list that they made up. They presented 10 songs. The fans voted for these songs out of every category. They had a section of, you know, 79 to 85. They had a 1996 to 2000. They had a, you know, a 2011 till present day. That gap was that big. So you're going to hear songs from old school, new school, modern day, underground, women, like this weed smoker songs. Like they were all added to this list. The next song on the list, representing the South, Rick Ross, Hustlin'.
Every day I'm hustling. Not 50 greatest, no.
The only song he has on this list, his only appearance, I Get Around. Those are the Creeds, by the way.
You don't just say. Please tell me.
No, I'm not
you
lying.
You cannot just say that the only
only song
Tupac Amaru Shakur song that they have on that damn list of 50 greatest
hip hop songs.
It's just I Get Around. Hail Mary. Ambitions as a Rider.
Those did not make it. And trust me, they were presented.
Hit them up.
They were presented, did not make the list during those weeks. Next up, representing the underground. Representing the underground. And this one to me is a shocker. I still can't believe this actually made it through. Talib Kweli, I Get By. It is a great song.
Talib Kweli's I Get By is on this list. And Tupac's only representation on said list is I Get Around.
Let's bring this back a little bit, all right?
All right, okay.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Summertime.
Of course. Okay. There's Summertime until you hear that song.
That's right. A Tribe Called Quest, featuring Leaders of the New School, Scenario.
Of course.
Okay. Puff Daddy and the Family, It's All About the Benjamins.
So you mean to tell me that Biggie is now on multiple songs on the set list?
Yep.
And the only Tupac Shakur song on this list is "I Get Around."
Next up, Wu-Tang, Triumph.
Anything off of Ender 36 Chambers, yes. Triumph was a great song for its time. It is not Wu-Tang's best. But it was fire.
Slick Rick, A Children's Story.
Yes.
Let's piss off Kyle again. Notorious B.I.G., One More Chance.
So you're telling me...
I read what he said, too.
So you're telling me...
Yep.
That now for the third time...
Yep.
On said list.
Yes.
I am hearing Notorious Christopher Wallace B.I.G.
Great rapper.
And Tupac. So only song.
That guy.
That guy.
That guy right there. His only with the Cody tattoo.
Is fucking... I Get Around.
Next up on the list, representing for the women, Little Kim, Big Mama Thang.
I'm going to piss the ladies off. No.
50 Cent in the Club.
Yeah.
Even I have to say, if you think about the categories, he nails it in every
portion. Borderline. Yeah, that's in there. That's in there.
MC Ricky D and Doug E. Fresh. La-di-da-di.
Yep.
Mobb Deep Shook Ones, yep. Part 2.
Yep.
Representing for the new school, Meek Mill's Dreams and Nightmares intro.
You know what? That song has stood the test of time, in my opinion, because I still bump that shit like it just came out. Yes.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't listened to anything good music. I haven't heard anything music wise in like 10 years that I actually gave a damn about.
That one,
I totally good. Missed the Meek Mill fad.
Just that song.
That's every, yeah, I know the song.
I should know that. There's a couple.
I know the beat and I know it changes up, so I know the song. But like, I never really like. I probably heard the song like 7 times that when it came to that.
Song's a fire one. I got to give the new school their due on that one.
Only representation on this list. Dr. Dre, Ain't Nothing But a G Thing.
This is Hot 97?
Yep. That's why I'm wondering when you're going to start noticing the trend.
I mean, the bias got to go.
Yeah, that was the biggest problem with this entire fucking
list. The bias got to go. I mean, I haven't even heard anything from Atlanta yet. Like the bias gotta go. New York is the mecca of hip hop. It is not the sole provider of hip hop. I need a lot of people to realize that.
That was Rick Ross hustling. South Week.
That's Florida. I don't know.
Represents the South. That's how they grouped it. Next up, DMX, Rough Riders Anthem.
Yes.
Okay. Raekwon, Ice Cream.
What category is it in?
Honestly, I don't even remember what the category was for this week. I just know that he was up there, and it got in.
I mean, it did put a label on the ladies for a while, so yeah.
Mr. Kanye West with Jesus Walks.
So you're telling me that Kanye solo, not production-wise, but solo as Kanye the artist, the rapper, the man who is on the microphone, is on this list multiple times?
Yep.
But the only representation from Tupac Shakur is "I Get Around."
Next up, all right. NWA Straight Out of Compton.
Yes.
You really want to get pissed off?
Go ahead.
Making his only representation on this list, it's Melly Mel's favorite rapper, Eminem, with "Lose Yourself."
That's a banger, but that shouldn't be his only thing on there. As commercial as it was, my name has put him on the map. As commercial as it was.
Now, the most controversial person on this list, and I'll explain why after. Nicki Minaj featuring Drake, Moment for Life.
All right, can I explain to you about... Let me explain to y'all, because y'all probably don't even notice
it. I'm going
to
relight this cigarette.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Nicki Minaj, or as I like to call it, Lil' Kim Jr., should not be mentioned in anything in terms of greatness of hip hop, and I mean any of her songs. I think she is the most overhyped, overly promoted, overly hyped, overly played artist this side of Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer that I've ever heard of my life. It's insane to me because I can't quote you one of her lyrics. Not one. I think Cardi B is better than Nicki Minaj.
I actually agree with that statement. And I don't like either one. Like, actually, Cardi's not bad. Cardi's cool. But Nicki got certain songs, which I will get to later on, where she can rap her ass off. But the whole... Nah. The whole package, nah. But the... I mean... That...
My eyes is crazy.
Alright, so... representing for the remix week. This was a remix week song.
Okay.
Nas, Made You Look remix featuring Jadakiss and Ludacris.
50 of all time, though.
For remix week.
No.
Okay. LL Cool J, Round the Way Girl.
That wasn't the remix I would have put with Cool J, but...
No, that remix. This is just part of it. When it's something specific, I remember. So, this is just... It just got in for the old schools.
Round the Way is... It's LL, so, I mean, at the end of the day, whatever LL puts his voice on is fire.
Mind you, only representation.
No, you didn't just say that.
Black Star.
You didn't just say
that. And this one kind of offends me as an underground fan. Black Star, Reparations.
That's not a remix.
No. The remix was for that just that one week.
Oh, okay.
No, that's what I'm saying. We got to throw it up. Wait, we are watching NXT. Everybody in the chat, you already know what to do. Throw up the U's. But no, it got in for, I think it was a wild card week. Black Star, Reparations.
That's fire.
Bobby Shmurda, Hot Nigga. Representing the new school.
All right, I don't get the appeal to that song.
Me neither.
It's a remade beat. Yeah, the lyrics of it are, I guess, good for today because you can actually understand them.
Mm-hmm.
However, that doesn't mean they're good lyrics.
You ready from your other winner?
I don't get the appeal. I just don't get the appeal.
Another winner representing from the South. UGK International Players Anthem featuring Outkast.
Yep.
So Outkast makes the list.
Yep.
Representing the West Coast, Ice Cube, It Was a Good Day.
Of course.
Representing New York, because you know the bias. Jadakiss, We Gonna Make It featuring Styles P, which is a great song, by the way. And all you threw it up in the chat.
I'll put it to you like this, though. That's topping a lot of songs. So it's got to be there.
All right.
It's topping a lot of songs.
Going back for the old school. Pete Rock and CL Smooth, They Reminisce Over You.
Yes, that's one of my favorite songs ever.
All right.
On any genre.
Bone Thugs and Harmony, Crossroads.
Yeah. I already knew what song was going to be.
And last but not least, it wouldn't be a hip-hop list without this crew. Public Enemy, Fight the Power.
Of course.
That was the list.
Okay.
How good / bad was that list? Because I am literally 50-50.
Do you understand that you told me that the only representation of Tupac Shakur on that list?
On that entire list. 50 songs.
Is I Get Around.
Yes. That's what got voted in.
Yo, man, what's my man Humpty Hump at, man? Can Humpty get one of
the... Busta did not make the list. Except for a feature in Scenario.
No, he was part of L1S.
Drake did not make this list.
Good.
Kendrick did not make this list.
I'm not the biggest Kendrick fan, but that motherfucking, what was it? That, Mad City?
Yes.
That was fire.
And here's the thing. Kendrick was nominated 6 different weeks and did not get in and lost out this much every fucking week. Now, there was controversy on this list, and I said I was going to come back to it. The Nicki Minaj situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nicki actually got 2 songs on that list, but the last week they got rid of one of them. They had to pick one of the 2 to get rid of because there were overwhelming number spikes in voting. Whoever the Barbs are, they found out about this and legit like upped the votes by like 6,000 votes just for Nicki Minaj. She blew everybody out the water. And they had to remove one of the 2 songs. It was either that or Roman's Revenge featuring Eminem.
Can I tell you something about both of those songs?
Yes.
Hated them.
Robert's Revenge was okay. It wasn't that great, but it was all right. But yeah, hip hop 50 years. Anything to say about hip hop?
This is me breaking kayfabe and actually having something without hating or aggression. Mm-hmm. When it comes to hip hop, people need to understand that it's just not a music. All right, see, rapping is something you do. Hip hop is something that you are. It is a lifestyle. It is an absolute mark on a history in terms of its influence on what you see every day. It started out in the Bronx and it's being done worldwide. Every single language has some type of rapper. It does not matter what language it is. That doesn't happen unless you do something that is ridiculously huge, monumental, and influential. And if it wasn't for hip-hop, there would be a lot of things that would be so much more boring. It just is what it is, man. It's just your way of life, and happy 50th to it.
For me, hip-hop was that culture that I discovered at a young age that originally I didn't think I was, like, a part of it. And then, you know, as time went on, just meeting people in the community, getting to, like, interact with people, seeing my cousin as a DJ, you know, getting to meet guys like DJ Tech out here, who did a lot in Providence. The guy's very successful right now. He is doing good for himself, you know what I mean? And just seeing what the culture can do for people, like, in our community when, like, you unite and support somebody, it's a beautiful fucking thing, man. And you know, it sucks to, like, I hate the fact that hip-hop and, you know, us being an urban world order, urban people get a bad rap just because of the way we look and the way we express ourselves, but that's who we are. And like you said, people from other countries, you know, do what we do. Our culture controls the way, you know, television is being shown, you know, like, for Christ's sakes, NXT, like, their opening theme song is Wale. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? A couple months ago, NF was rapping, you know what I'm saying, the intro to Raw. Like,
Wale Fest.
Wale Mania, you know what I'm saying? And just to, like, to tie it in with the world of pro wrestling, you know what I'm saying? Like, acts like Max Caster and John Cena, for Christ's sakes. Top Dollar.
What up, Tacoma?
I'll even give Todd. What up, Tacoma? So, we're back here, so if you ever want to see us, you know where we are.
Here we are.
You know what I'm saying? Hell, speaking of the culture, Miss Nakoma was just chilling with the homie Alex Kane, the MLW World Heavyweight Champion. And he hip-hop is all hell. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it's such a beautiful thing that if people on the outside could really just come in and join us, it's a beautiful thing. Instead of people criticizing what hip-hop is.
Max Caster and John Cena. Yeah, only one of them got a platinum album. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, R-Truth. That's all. We have R-Truth. Hell, look at Road Dogg. Road Dogg got over because he was a rapper.
Yep.
And he could sing.
It's him, the D-O-double-G.
So, to me, hip-hop is this beautiful thing, man. And, you know, I'm a couple years behind hip-hop, but I'm happy to be a part of this culture. I'm happy to be a part of it. And I love the fact that hip-hop's accepting of everybody. Everybody.
You nice. And please, for the love of it, write your own shit.
Yes. And one more thing, right?
Yeah.
Whoever the hell let Melly Mel record that song?
B-O-T-W?
He ain't your real friend.
He's not.
He is not your real friend.
You want to know who else don't have real friends?
Who don't got real friends?
Everybody who decided to upload that song. Okay? You have no friends. Because your friends should have told you that you are wasting internet bandwidth.
Okay? Yep.
There is something else that could be taking place in that would be leagues better. Because that's some of the worst stuff ever. All right? And I saw Two Girls, One Cup. That is probably the worst shit I've ever heard or seen on the internet. And it was, dude, that lyrics were true. My son's better than that. My son can do better than that. Way better.
When you rap 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, rah! In a verse? Nah.
That's just
stop, Mel. Stop.
All right, let's get to some wrestling.
Yeah, let's talk about some wrestling. Where do you want to go? Because there's a lot of places we can go in the world of pro wrestling.
Hey, subject number one. Surprise me.
Surprise you?
And put it on the screen.
Deuces. So, Jey Uso, right, on Friday, decided, you know what? I'm gone. Fuck the Bloodline.
Yep.
Fuck SmackDown.
Yep.
Fuck WWE.
Yep. Deuces.
Uses. Yep, that just happened. Jey Uso quits Friday night. Now, we have way differing opinions on this matter.
I thought that that shit was dope. And by the way, shout out, before I even get into my thing, I want to give the biggest of shout outs to Jey Uso.
Uh-huh.
For representing Little Brothers worldwide.
I feel you.
And kicking that motherfucker square in his foreface when he thought he was just going to hug me and shit was sweet. No, nigga. You know what you did. It wasn't for the love. It's because of the little brother shit. And little brothers got to kick the big brother in the foreface every now and then.
It happens. Oh, by the way, the Skype lights are open. I just turned it back on, but continue. I'm sorry.
All right. So, anyway.
Yes.
I thought that the segment, in a sense, did tease what's ultimately being rumored, which is a four-way match at Survivor Series between the Bloodline, Solo, Roman, Jay, and Jimmy. But depending on how long, because you can tell number one is kayfabe.
Yes.
Because they said on the show, oh, they moved Jay over to the alumni section.
What?
Never in the history of quitting and or releases has been mentioned on TV on that manner. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to milk this. You're trying to make the point on it. We all know what's being worked. If you don't think you're being worked, keep making those Jey Uso is all elite memes, please. Anyway.
Great memes, by the way. I don't know who does the artwork, but y'all are phenomenal.
But I gotta say, no, man. I thought that what Jimmy said, kind of, sort of, I guess, tried to save it so that it didn't look like he was going back with Roman trying to ultimately get him back in with the bride. Jimmy ultimately turned it down. I thought that they hit a bunch of different points. And the sailor was Jay just saying, fuck this shit. I'm ghost.
I hated it.
I know you did. You told me you did.
Fuck, I hated it. All right, I'll be honest. Take this entire episode of SmackDown that we just watched, right?
Okay.
Now, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but save LA Knight and Top Dollar. Take everything else that occurred around that episode.
Time out. Hold on real quick, because we got to do an instant replay real quick. We got to rewind this tape.
Okay.
You said everything but LA Knight, right?
Yes.
And then you said,
yes,
keep on the show another name.
Yeah.
Repeat that name, please.
Top Dollar.
Y'all telling me?
I didn't call him Flop Dollar. I said Top Dollar this week.
You have nothing to tell us that LA Knight ain't over. LA Knight has this man wanting Top Dollar to be kept on the show.
Because you know why? Because you take that portion of the show with LA Knight and Top Dollar, right? You take that, you cut it out of the film.
Yeah.
You put that away.
Yeah.
So you take it and then you push the rest of SmackDown together like a cake.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then you ball that shit up.
Yeah.
And you take the entire show, aside from Top Dollar and LA Knight, and you take it and you throw it in the trash. Because that episode of SmackDown was fucking horrible. I'm sorry, I can't believe I'm saying this, but this was a bad episode. And it culminated with Jey Uso in that storyline. I'm going to save...
Nick, this is my favorite shirt, don't be hating.
I'm going to save the rest of what I was going to say about SmackDown for another portion of the show.
Okay.
With something else that I want to throw in there.
Are you going to get a golden shovel?
I mean, we have one.
I mean,
you'll get there. It'll get there. But no, when it comes to the storyline, I don't like it and I don't get it. That was the weakest fucking excuse for why you cost your brother a world title.
That big brother shit. That's that big brother shit.
It's that big brother shit.
They give you a badass excuse.
Yep.
And then when you go outside your head, their head. That's it, you go outside your head. Yeah. When you go outside their head,
yep.
You know what I'm saying?
It's your fault. You're crazy.
You know what I mean?
Oh, trust me, I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's some bullshit.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I don't buy the excuse. The excuse is weak. Weak as shit. I'm sorry. I feel like, and I can honestly say this, I feel like we're doing this now. And I didn't want this to happen with the storyline.
Okay.
It's been almost 3.5 years.
Okay.
But now we're doing everything over again. Instead of this time, it ain't Jey Uso, it's Jimmy Uso.
Uh-huh.
That's the one. And here's the other kicker, right? Why the fuck would Jimmy do that just to keep Roman in power?
He did it so that, quote unquote, now this is...
Yep, these are his words.
This is Big Brother's bullshit ass excuses. This is what this is.
Yep.
He said, I didn't want you to be the tribal chief because it turned you into him. and I couldn't live with myself if I let you turn into him. Here's the news flash for you. You also cost him his life's work of becoming the heavyweight champion of the world. Just want to put that out there. The tribal chief shit, I can toss it, okay? But you just cost me. And not only did you cost me, okay? But you kicked me square in the motherfucking foreface in doing such. You don't think I'm getting out of the back?
You pulled me out of the ring. You could have stopped there. The cap was already broken.
You know what I'm saying?
What'd you kick me in the face for?
Exactly.
Now, see, this is why Jimmy Uso is Huey Freeman. Why can't you let a nigga shine? Always hating.
Always
hating. Like, this is what we're doing here? Like, that's the excuse?
Yeah.
I love you?
Yeah.
The fuck? No.
Yeah. So that's why you just got to square off with your big brother.
I don't want to say the words, but goddamn it, the storyline is starting to... If there was a shark right here, right? It's kind of...
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that combo.
It's like right here. It's right here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not fully over it, but it's starting to. It's practicing. Mm-hmm. It's practicing because I'm sorry. That ending, that storyline, bullshit. Like, don't get me wrong. The performance was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, they had me hook, line, and sinker. But when it came to the thing, I was just like, well, why'd you do that? Like, that's really? Really? That's why we're pulling our brothers off of people about to win title? Like, no? You don't want to let them be great? So, and you're not even helping this motherfucker? You're just doing it because you don't want me to win?
Uh-huh. That's some hating shit.
Yeah, like, you're not even helping Roman. Uh-huh. But you're helping Roman. Yeah. Like,
I didn't do this for you.
I can't buy this. I can't buy that excuse. It did nothing for me. No. I'm sorry. This was a big fat L. On that storyline. You missed me with that one, WWE. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy, but fuck it. I'm going to be that guy.
You're being Eddie right now.
I'm being Eddie right now.
R.I.P. To a goat.
To the goat.
To a goat.
And a ghost. All right. So, what would you like to get into next? A couple different surprises. I think this one we will enjoy because it's something I think we both totally agree on.
Why don't we just post some gasoline and fire and put it on screen?
All right. Should this coming Monday night, should Chad Gable and Gunther be the main event of Monday Night Raw this coming week?
Of course. Aside from Seth freaking Rollins just being Seth freaking Rollins, every other storyline isn't built on like this. Mm-hmm. I think this is actually the main story of Monday Night Raw right now. And as crazy as that sounds, let me break this down. This started last week with a 5-minute beat the clock challenge, which Chad Gable beat the fucking challenge. So technically, he got the last step over Gunther.
Thank you!
That motherfucker's over with that shit.
Yeah.
Okay? And not for nothing, we've been saying give Chad Gable a chance since the Shorty G days. And probably even before that. Hold on, Congo. I think Chad does win. I think Chad does win, but does not win the title. Probably going to be count out or disqualification. Pick one to set up the eventual prize winning match as soon as Gunther breaks that record.
I actually agree with you. Mm-hmm. Like, fully agree with you. Like, first off, when it comes to the storyline, right, this is literally chicken salad out of chicken shit for Chad Gable. Yeah. And not just Chad Gable, that entire crew. You know what I'm saying? Because we all didn't want Otis, you know what I'm saying? He went from Loverboy Otis or Heavy Machinery Otis to Loverboy Otis to for some reason he's holding the money in the bank. Then he loses the fucking money in the bank. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is like a burial gimmick for both of those guys. And they took it, flipped it around, and did something right with it. You know what I'm saying? And even Maxine Dupree, she was lost. She came in out of fucking nowhere. Nobody knew who she was. No offense, I know kayfabe put aside, but that fucking male model gimmick was stupid as hell.
Dupree!
And she just transitioned into this one. It's like WWE knew that gimmick was dead, and we're like, hey, we're going to push you towards Otis. And she's even getting pops. You know what I'm saying? So props to American Alpha altogether that they're doing so good. Now, when it comes to Chad Gable and Gunther, that match is going to be fucking amazing. If that match does not start Monday Night Raw, it definitely needs to be the main event.
Ooh.
Wait, what happened?
I wouldn't be mad at that.
I wouldn't be mad at that either. My thing with Chad Gable is he's been, like, so damn good.
Do suplexed every fucking body, no matter how
Braun Strowman, like, he's chucking everybody.
Dude, and he's actually a legit wrestler, dude. So he does have that respect. You don't have to suspend disbelief too much to from what he's doing because he's literally doing that.
By the way, Trick Williams, big win.
Yes.
Shout out to Trick.
Trick?
Whoop that Trick.
What? Anyway.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I honestly agree. I honestly think they should be the main event, and I'm with you. I think Chad should get the win, but not the title. Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly where I was going to go with it. I'm thinking, you know, disqualification, and then turn the match into like a six-man or a tag team again. You know, do it again, but make Chad look really, really strong. Make him look semi-believable, because we all know once Gunther's ready to end the match, he ends the fucking match. Clothesline, big-ass chop, powerbomb, fold you over like a pretzel. It happens every week. So,
By the way, this is completely last subject, so I do apologize. I need to get back because I need to talk about one other thing in SmackDown, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is I'd like to congratulate somebody. I'd like to congratulate the son of Eddie Guerrero because you are going to be the next United States champion.
Oh.
Dirty Dom won't be Dirty Double Champ Dom, baby. Put some respect on Five Star Dom.
I'll get there.
Most over person in wrestling.
I'll get there in a second.
Most over person in wrestling. Have you ever heard anything he said?
Nope.
Proud reaction.
Nope. Nope.
But go ahead.
Oh, trust me, I'm not opposed to what you're saying. I'm gonna save that for later.
All right.
But this match. Yep. Deuces. Never liked her anyway. She fine as motherfucker, but. Besides that, don't care. Rinaldi, y'all don't even want her at Impact. Trust me.
For what?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I agree. I honestly think this match will be a great matchup. And like you said, after he breaks the record, maybe it's time to take the belt off him. Because with all due respect, after he breaks this record, it just goes to show he is above that IC title.
He is the focal point
of Monday Night Raw. And Judgment Day, too. Don't get it. Like, they've been doing some good work, too. But their story's going.
She has one.
She does, but there's nothing good on it.
All right.
Research-wise.
Just research purposes.
Okay. I gotta do it for y'all, okay? I sacrifice my vision for y'all. You're welcome. But yeah, no, 100% agree. I definitely think this should be the main event of the show, especially because it's a Monday Night Raw. Like, with all due respect, they're building up Seth and Nakamura right now. That Becky, Trish, just keep dragging it on.
You heard him say that?
What?
This man calling her down.
Yo, that shit was fucking brilliant, by the way. Yo, I just learned Canada is part of North America. I'm your champion, too. Yo, Dom's been getting... Dom's been great this fucking year, man. I ain't even gonna lie. Dom's been
killing. He's improved so much.
What up, Aaron? All right. Where would you like to go next? You want some more good news? You want some discussion? You want some drama? Because everybody loves drama.
Let's get some more good news.
You want to get some more good news?
Yeah, some good news.
All right, I'm putting it on the screen. A legendary two-time Hall of Fame tag team will be reuniting. Alongside Awesome Kong coming out of retirement and the Beautiful People coming back for one more stride, including the Dudley Boys at Impact 1000. All right.
How many shots does it take to kill TNA? Because every time you're like, yo, all right, TNA, you fell off the fucking face of the earth. It's about time they do something like wrestle.
Greatness.
They do something like this fucking cup. They always get you back, and that's why you can't kill them. They always get you back. This 1000 gonna be fire. I'm doing it.
First and foremost, 1000 episodes.
Congrats.
Legit, like you said, they are the cockroach that will not go away. we legit could do an entire episode on this next question, but some of your favorite moments of Impact over the 1000 episodes that they've had.
Because
there's been a lot of great
shit. Some of my favorite moments, besides walking the six sides of steel, which is probably one of the most iconic moments in wrestling history, not just TNA, we can get the Feast of Fires, the briefcase openings. All of them are fucking perfect. All of them are greatness. all of the promos, which is a very underrated factor on this young man, the alpha male.
From the Serengeti.
Yo, man, he was... Oh, man. My favorite moments. There was some paper bag treatments, people that had a very interesting, shall we say, debuts.
Debuts.
When they come in. but...
I see what you did there, Rinaldi. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Should see, man. Oh! High-flying AJ Styles X Division Championship ring.
Mm.
Samoa Joe's X... The main event Mafia forming up. There's a portion of that history where main event Mafia did come in that could have gone along and just fucking died.
Your boy's right there.
Mm-hmm. What else could I be in there? Let's see. How many people just showed up out of the blue in TNA and just absolutely resurrected their careers from, like, the Drew Galloways? Anybody. And they took Steinemath.
Yep.
Go. You win. Ronaldo won. Go ahead.
Yo, Nick, thank you. It wasn't, by the way, it wasn't just one. It was two. RVD getting suspended. For him and Katie Forbes, like, live sex show. Like, for real, that happened. Yeah, too big to... This is Tiffany. Wait till you guys meet Tiffany. Holy shit. What about, speaking of which, the greatest wedding of all time.
ODB.
And Eric Young.
Yes, sir.
That's right. We saw a lot of... what's that word? I say it all the time when I... usually, well, that time there were six. Because there was ODB's. Uh-huh. There was Zelina Vegas.
Yeah.
And there was Saritas.
Yes.
It'll come to me eventually.
Titties!
Titties! Yes! There were a lot of titties. Eric Young's titties were there too, but ain't nobody looking at them. Nobody cared about them titties.
Yeah, man, but yo, dude, TNA, Impact, whatever you want to call it, even when Mick Foley came in there, Christian Cage, when he came in there, he kept. Dude,
Kurt Angle. Booker T. Man. Sting.
Dude. That, and we're talking Joker Sting. Oh,
yes.
Oh, yes.
Kurt Angle. The greatest. Let's be honest. Kurt Angle's career was better in Impact than it was in WWE.
That's tough.
Think about the match quality, man. Like, don't get me wrong. He had great moments in WWE, but when you want to talk about his in-ring work.
Him and Eddie is still his best match. To me, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Eddie is still his best.
Him and AJ.
Yeah, that was
fire. Hell, you know what's a sleeper match? Him versus Desmond Wolfe. Well, we'll talk a little bit about him later on, too. But who else? Like, hell, the debut of Shark Boy. He was in a coma.
Worst video game in the wrestling genre ever.
Oh, we had one match. And that wasn't even good. Great idea and concept, terrible execution.
It was so bad.
Great concept, terrible.
But we did get a wrestler from that video game.
We did.
Somebody who showed just how great he is was under that mask.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with Kazarian?
Oh, no. You know how many people played Suicide? I thought you were talking about TJP. When they revealed, when Hogan, it was him the whole time.
I said delete that entire. Oh!
You know what the best part about him, though, was?
Beer money!
Oh, of course. You gotta do it properly.
Oh, beer
money! You have to do it right, man.
Dude, that tag team. I'll put that tag team against anybody.
Yeah, it's legit. Anybody. Here's the kicker, right? James Storm had two phenomenal tag team partners.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Chris Harris when they were the American America's Most Wanted, and fucking Beer Money with Robert Roode. Like, he was one of, he's literally their tag team division.
You know what we didn't mention? We didn't mention the Motor City. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We didn't mention Money Moose.
Money Moose. Even with the new school.
The Aces and Eights.
Yeah.
Dude.
Bully.
Yeah.
As much as people don't like Bully, and we'll talk about Bully in a second, but as much as people don't like Bully,
Cavzilla.
Look at the Cavs. Aces and Eights was a phenomenally done. They had some shitty members. Wes Briscoe, Garrett Bischoff. But
did you just bring up?
Well, look, every team got their Garrett Bischoffs and Wes Briscoes. All right, every team got one, so right. They had two. hell, if we haven't even talked about the fact of the women's division,
the TNA Knockouts gets all credit for me for the quote unquote Divas Revolution or Evolution or. The fact that women were putting on phenomenal ass fucking matches instead of bra and panties and pillow fights.
While doing bra and panties and pillow fighting. It's crazy how that works. It's crazy how you can have serious, great, beautiful professional wrestling by women.
Yeah.
And you can see titties and ass. Literally. Kyle, every time the beautiful people walk to the ring, tell where's the lie?
Dude, they just wanted to let pictures loose.
Yeah, Taz loved it. Boy, ain't nobody ever been. There hasn't been a thirstier commentator than Taz. Anytime, Velvet Sky.
Yeah.
Look at it. She pointed. She took the camera and said, look, follow this. Yeah. Cheek. Okay. Every time.
Okay, guys, so you know, we're going to be talking about competition and all.
Let the pigeons loose! Shut up today! Oh, my goodness. But no, Impact has had some phenomenal moments. Like, fucking, whatchamacallit? The first X Division Ultimate X match.
Who? Slept on moment in Impact / NWA / whatever you want to call it, okay? The cockroach. That's what
we
call it from now on.
The
cockroach. The roach. When Ron the Truth Killings won the heavyweight championship, but that wasn't what I want to focus on.
Okay.
The Ether Pipe Bomb, whatever you want to call it, when he got the match from Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who was commissioner at the time, about being the second class citizen from the Intercontinental Championship. That promo was pure fucking fire. That was his best work by far on the mic, not on a comedian tip.
Yep. Legit. Phenomenal promo. And to reply to Congo, the early year knockouts, aside, like you said, aside from WWE people, the only other person I can add to your list, and she was very underrated, the Voodoo Queen, baby, Roxy Laveau. Underrated as hell in that ring, and she took an ass whoop.
Back in the day, that wasn't in the WWE first. Congo and Wild, that's
it. And Taylor Wilde back then was fucking great.
Was Gail Kim in the WWE first?
Yeah, she was WWE first. Mm. She had her WWE run, she left.
Turn angle!
No.
Lacey Meyer?
Titties. Literally, that's all she's known for. Hell, I even go back to the lollipop days. They used to have bitches in cages. Like, come on, they had strippers. Man. They're like, look, we're going to get your attention one way or the other. And they did, goddamn.
But here's the thing, though, about that.
The best $9.99 I've ever spent.
They had WWE first, but they made their mark and impact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll give you any other runs on Gail Kim.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the average person.
Mm-hmm.
What was Gail Kim's biggest rival in WWE?
Nobody. I know the answer. Vince in the booking committee.
Not yet.
Fun fact, she's also a two-time women's champion in WWE. Mm. Does anybody remember that?
No.
She won titles on her first night.
I don't remember that.
And then won her title the first night back again.
I don't remember that.
Exactly.
What about ODB?
Bam! Aside from Grail Kim and Awesome Kong, she's the greatest knockout of all time.
That came out of left field, by the way.
Titties! ODB is the definition of titties.
Liquid courage, Mike.
Look, let's be honest, all right? When it comes to when it comes to ODB as like the hottest woman in professional wrestling, let's be honest, she's probably not there. But out of any titties in the history of professional wrestling that we want to see, it's probably ODB's.
ODB was big?
Strongly disagree with that. strongly disagree with that. I think ODB was a lot. I think she's underrated when it comes to women's pro wrestling, especially during that era. She's underrated.
Me? All right, see.
I mean, you're the professional, Congo. Don't get us wrong, but
I think Piper Niven is mid, and ODB is better than Piper.
Yes.
I should say Piper in WWE is just fucking mid.
Yeah. All right. Of course, that's the dialogue of pro wrestling. God damn it.
Exactly.
See, this is.
I can survive a powerbomb. Everybody's been in the ring, doesn't it?
You have a death wish, and my chair keeps falling down.
Well, man, I can survive a powerbomb.
I think. Yeah, you could. You just gotta tuck the chin. Yeah, but you're not gonna like it.
You gotta tuck the chin.
Yeah, but you're gonna hurt in the morning. You're gonna enjoy the feeling. It doesn't feel good. It's not pleasant. I had a guy who was 6'1" powerbomb me. I could just imagine fucking 7-footer. It hurt going from 6 feet. I don't want to go 8. So, but no, to bring it back to what
whoa,
I was
saying. Oh, he said Paige. Sorry, I'll give you Paige. No. Come on. Britt Baker, after that last of the ball.
Yeah, Britt has
mid.
She's dropped way down the card for me. I had Britt up here for a bit. Yeah, no, she's.
But yeah, well, we got to switch to the bunch more to cover.
But really quick, before we switch up, right? The last team I wanted to bring up when it came to the reunion were the Dudleys.
Poor Mustafa.
The reason I brought this up was because it was breaking news last week on Busted Open Radio. Devon called in that the Dudleys, or Team 3D, are reuniting for the 1,000th episode. And we all know what Devon has gone through physically with like his surgeries and the stroke and all that other shit. But he stated on that it was a 30-minute interview. He feels great. He's like, I've been training with the boys for the past couple of years. His two sons, Terrence and Terrell. He's been helping out at the Team 3D Academy. He's like, you know, I started taking bumps a couple months ago, and I started feeling better. And then he's like, man, I've been keeping up my health. I'm keeping up my weight. I feel great. He goes, honestly, I feel better than I used to. And for people who don't know Devon Dudley in the wrestling world, in that ring, trained by Johnny Rods, he's a guy that can go with anybody. Move for move, hold for hold. For like the longest period. And his gas tank is one of those that they say, you know, doesn't hit E. And Devon saying that he's feeling better. And Bully's still active. We all know Bully's still active doing his thing. Aside from this one match, let's just say for 1 year, the Dudleys do a farewell tour. Who would you want to see the Dudleys face? Because to me, there's only one answer.
There's three.
Okay.
The Dudleys can adapt to anybody's style, much like Kenneth Jerome.
That's why they are the greatest, and I stand by that statement.
So, I would love to see what they can do with, like, I may get a lot of hatred for this, but pointing at the last time they had a bad showing, the Lucha Bros.
I would love to see that. Yo, wasn't even thinking about that, but God damn it, now I want to see it.
Point to the bad match, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Aside from them, of course you got the Usos, everybody would like to see who's the greatest, the Ghost versus the greatest of this ever. In my opinion, some people say the Bucks. I'm not gonna want to hear with me, whatever you want to call it. And the Bucks.
Congo said it best. FTR. FTR. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I would put on a clinic.
To me, I would love to see, because everyone's been talking about how great FTR is and how they've been stacking up titles. They're 10-time champions. What do you say to 10-time champions? Hey, we're 23-time world champions. Y'all still ain't even halfway to where we are yet.
You gotta
boost that shit, all right? Nah, so to me, FTR is the one match. The Briscoes was another match that, as we all know, unfortunately, we're probably never going to see.
Probably.
Well, I mean, yeah, we're not going to see. You get what I'm saying. It's still weird, man. It's so fucking weird.
Trust me, I lost somebody that really, to me, it's not even hit me that he's gone. It sucks, man. Trust me.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? But, I mean, I would love to see them with the Bucks again. Honestly, I want to see them with some younger talent. Like, I'd like to see them versus the Creeds. And you know Bully. Bully's not afraid to go down to NXT to put these young people over. And same thing with Devon. And it's funny because a lot of people really don't know Devon as much because he's not as talkative as Bubba being on a radio show. But they are legit two peas in a pod. Like, the shit that Bubba says, D-Von says too. He's like, yo, this ain't just me yesing to him or him yesing to me. This is us. This is why we've lasted for so long. You know what I'm saying? A black guy and a white guy, both from different parts of New York, unite as professional wrestlers, become brothers, travel the world, and become the most, without a doubt, successful professional wrestling tag team in history. Are they the greatest? In a lot of people's mind, including my own, yes, they are. A lot of people are going to put Road Warriors, to each their own. But to me, the Dudleys are the GOAT tag team of all time. That's still around in this generation that has worked with, you know, the OG vets. You know, the guys who are the modern day stars, and even and they've literally given us a lot of young talent.
And they were the last survivors of 94.
That's right. That's the crazy part of it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, to me, this is a blessing in disguise.
Oh my Lord, you're Congo, you're hurting. He killed me, Smalls. You're killing me, Smalls.
He ain't far off.
Stop.
He ain't far. I'm with you, Congo, Dave.
Stop.
I get the hype. I get the character. I understand it. But going back and watching it, it's their matches aren't good. We're going to come in the ring and we're going to beat the fuck out of you. And then when we're done, we're going to hit you with a doomsday device.
We don't get paid by the hour.
Yeah, not at all. This is not hourly wage. I get paid by the job. You know what I'm saying? I'm with you on that, Congo. And anybody who has issues, Congo is a pro. Just throwing that out there. For anybody reading the comments, Congo is a pro. So that's on him. Whatever he. But I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. But no, Dudley's come back for one more year. Like, give it 1 year run, and they do wherever they want to go. I'm all for that. All for that. You know something? Like I said, he's not wrong.
Hot Foundation was made by the Road Warriors. Legion of Boom. Nasty Boys made by the Road Warriors or Legion of Boom.
Demolition's run was better.
Why isn't Kobe better than Jordan?
One ring.
Kobe has one. Hell of a lot. Oh, I see what you did there. I'm about to say, oh, yeah, hell of a lot more than one.
There's your answer.
Okay.
It's the only difference.
Okay.
That's why LeBron is like two behind them.
So yeah, right.
I'm just throwing that there.
Because, you know, Jordan.
No, you can be great and still lose, but, you know, when you're having that debate with somebody, you know.
What, LeBron and Kobe?
No, LeBron and Jordan. There's still this factor of rings.
I'll put it to you like this.
And he's been there way more times.
Actually, I say that argument. If you want to go in terms of success, there is nobody that you're going to name besides Bill Russell who can say that they led a team to more success than Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah, 100% agree.
If you're going to talk in terms of stats.
Yes.
The man's top five in, like, damn near every category in NBA.
Don't forget Kareem.
Yeah.
A guy who invented a maneuver that's still unstoppable to this day.
Really stopping that skyhook.
This is the highest scorer up until last season. Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, when they have that debate of who is that player, when it comes to those two in the conversation, unfortunately, you kind of add those other ones up. Same thing with football for me. It's like, as great as Peyton Manning is, as great as Peyton Manning is.
I knew he was
going to
do it.
Where's the lie? As great as Peyton Manning is, and everyone says he's the best.
Joe never even threw an interception.
You could talk about Joe, too.
Joe goes and wins.
Yeah, but how many times does Joe go?
There is no Eli Mannings for Joe.
How many times does Joe go, though?
There is no Nick Foles,
yep.
Okay, for Joe Montana. There is none. All right?
Understandable.
He didn't even throw a pick.
Understandable. And how many did he play in?
Four.
Okay. My guys played in like 10.
And there's also no asterisks.
So if you take away the asterisks, he's already three up.
Go ahead.
Still more than Peyton. So, but that's just our shit talk for the day. Unless you want to keep the shit talk going.
Nah. We got a couple others we got to hit.
Okay. So we hit this.
Down.
Over
here.
There
it is. Put it on screen.
All right. Double duty for Better Than You, baby. I don't like this move whatsoever. MJF and Adam Cole versus Ozzy Open for the Ring of Honor World titles on the pre-show. To All In.
The buy-in, if you will.
The buy-in, yes. I see what you did there. That's what it's called. I fucking hate this. I'm sorry. With all due respect, I understand there's going to be a storyline leading up to later on in the night. It's trying to get people to buy into the pay-per-view. I understand why they're doing this. However, Wembley fucking Stadium. We're sitting there. Let's be honest. About 80,000 people are going to be there. Your main...
I don't know if they're going to do it in that match because that match is on the pre-show. But go ahead, bro.
But you're putting your two main eventers on first thing. First off, you're killing the pop that they're going to get later on in the night. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you're risking injury to the main event of a fucking stadium show. Your first one ever and your first show in the UK. This is AEW. With all due respect, there's a possibility that some bad shit's going to happen. And that's one thing I always say about AEW. As much as I love it, as exciting as it is, I'm always waiting for that bad thing to happen. And I'm not trying to curse them. Knock on all different woods.
This
door. This guy over there. I'm praying nothing happens. But the style that they work in AEW... The hard hitters that are coming from New Japan, there's a possibility someone can get fucked up. And I'm hoping they get through this. I'm literally, as a fan, I'm going to hold my breath during that match because you break a leg, you tear a ligament, you break a finger, it throws off the dichotomy of the main event that you had planned. So do I think there's a storyline that's going to occur? Most likely. Do they win the titles? Maybe not. But if they do, whatever. But something's going to happen to set up the tension for the main event of the night. So... I don't like it, but it is what it is.
Kyle?
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
The greatest booker of the year, whatever, PWI, whatever the fuck it is.
Yep.
His booking of the highly anticipated championship reign includes now... Mm-hmm. About 2 months of straight tag team matches for the person.
Yes.
Anyway.
I'm with you on that.
No. Maybe on Ring of Honor and then on All In. Mm-hmm. But that double duty is going to be... Yeah.
Wesley just spiked the shit out of Dijak. That was nice.
Eat your heart out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm spinning DDTs. I know they pull some hot shrinks. But yeah, anyway. I really can't say for sure if I like this or don't like this, though.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, yes. You don't want your main event to be on the pre-show. You just don't.
Yeah.
I don't, under no circumstance. Even when WrestleMania, I want to say 10, I believe it was 10, when they had Owen Hart versus Bret Hart.
Yeah.
That wasn't pre-show. Your main event was on the show, and later on that night, you had the culmination. This just isn't it for me. I don't hate the decision to have the match.
Yeah, I'm with you on it. I don't hate the decision, I just don't.
I'm not liking how it's... I'm not for it or against it.
I'm just, like I said, I'm afraid of, you know, like, worst case scenario for them. MJF rolls an ankle or breaks his foot. Or, you know what I'm saying, Adam Cole gets a fucking Cash Wheeler thing in the arm and rips his arm off or whatever.
I'm with you on that, Congo.
Like, I'm not for it. I'm not for it. Ooh, Wes just went down. Oh, I'm assuming this is a storyline. He better not lose.
We're watching.
Come on, NXT, we are watching NXT. We apologize. Oh, he can't get us. Oh, here we go. Damn, I'm actually invested now. But I'm not a fan of this at all. I don't think you should be risking your main event early on in the night. It's not a good look. We'll discuss the card another time when it's actually getting close, because we're literally what, like 2 weeks away from the show now. So it is starting to show up what it's supposed to be. But yeah, I'm not with this, Tony. I'm not a fan of this one. Stay off the Yayo.
Yeah, at least it's lighting up a little bit. Shit.
Yeah.
He did give you the greatest man of mine ever, though.
He did. He
Black
did.
Black man person.
So we just have this bad boy to finish up, but
Put it on the screen.
All right. I know we're doing the intro, but goddamn, Wesley just got. You see the hand?
Yeah.
Oh, that looked bad. But it's time to do the thing.
See, here on the UWO podcast, we're known for a few things: talking wrestling, making jokes, cracking this on anybody and anybody. They're also known for a little segment called Burial Week, where we don't say your career is over, many shows, we just say it every. You know, right now you can. You know.
Do better.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. All right. You can go ahead and get yours on.
Oh, because I got three. I got three. First one. Kazuchika Okada. You, sir, are having a very bad week. Not only did you lose the... Oh, shit. Yo, these two are beating the hell out of each other. Not only did you lose the G1 Climax Finals to Tetsuya Naito. That's my dog right there.
I can't believe I called it.
But you, sir, you are robbing me of something. You see, a few months ago, right, there was this pay-per-view called The Forbidden Door.
Two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Happened in Canada. Now, during said pay-per-view, you had a matchup against somebody by the name of Brian Danielson. And what happened in that match, Kyle?
Mr. Danielson broke his arm, and yeah.
Who broke Mr. Danielson's arm?
That would be Mr. Okada.
Kazuchika Okada, you son of a bitch. You see, it's been brought to my attention over the past week that there's a certain somebody who was planning on making a comeback in the world of professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. He's been training long and hard. It's been a nice long 11 years. Remember that time frame, 11 years. Nigel McGuinness has been training for the opportunity to come back and have one more match. And guess where that one more match was most likely going to be?
Was that going to be in Wembley?
In Wembley fucking stadium with 80,000 people watching this man return to his home country and have that moment. Because of Kazuchika Okada, the matchup that old school Ring of Honor fans, diehards, wanted to see after 11 long years, Nigel McGuinness versus Brian Danielson in the same country where they had one of my personal favorite matches of all time, where they unified the Ring of Honor and pure title, we got robbed for that. And see, that is the karma that cost Okada the G1. The wrestling gods realized.
That's what it was.
The wrestling gods realized you robbed us from this fucking match.
Yep.
I strongly disagree with that statement, Congo. Strongly. Nigel McGuinness was phenomenal in that ring. His work was greatness. I'm so sorry.
Congo is on a
roll. It's all good. It's a piggy. But strongly disagree. A guy who's wrestling for a year and a half with two torn biceps, I got nothing but respect for. You know what I'm saying? Still going at it, defending a world championship every night. I will never discredit someone for doing that. But the fact that this matchup could have happened, Tony was going to clear him. The doctors are going to clear him. And Brian's arm's broken. This is wrestling karma coming back for you, Okada. You deserve that L. You don't need to win at every goddamn Wrestle Kingdom, Okada.
Not everyone.
So, yeah,
there's somebody else left.
All we know, Okada ain't in the main event. Mm-hmm. For now.
Okay.
So hopefully you're not in the main event.
Number two,
this dumbass women's tournament that we have for the AEW Women's Championship at Wembley. Okay? Explain to me where, right?
Yep.
you just lose your world title.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
You have this little thing called a rematch clause.
Not in AEW.
Huh?
Not in AEW.
Well, apparently Tony Storm does.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, Kyle, here's a question, right? Mm-hmm. Do you use your rematch clause in a one-on-one matchup against the person who took your title?
No, that would be too easy.
Or do you rematch in a fatal four-way?
You gotta do it in a fatal four-way, man. Because after you beat the other three, the one-on-one's gonna be easy. You see what I'm saying? So why would you risk, you know, just getting in there and getting your ass with a rematch on one person when you can waste it and waste all your opportunity with three people who one can actually get pinned, you cannot be pinned, and there goes your rematch clause. However, mm-hmm. that's the danger. That shows you the heart of a champion that she has, apparently. And she's a heel, by the way.
Go ahead. Just throwing that out there. Okay? Now, is the other kicker, right? So one person gets the bye. Uh-huh. She's like, you know what? I'm going to use my rematch clause to get that bye.
Yeah.
So, the person who won said title,
yeah,
about a week ago, see what I did there? Mm-hmm. Bring it back to hip hop, has to fight and defend her title to get into the match for the title that she just won, that she has to defend.
Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong, this tournament bracket was the most predictable shit ever. Because with all due respect, Wembley Stadium, who do people want to see? Sky Blue or Saraya? Even though, I mean, we really know the answer is mm-hmm. Sky Blue. Because mm-hmm. all it is her
research.
Ass. Research purposes. Mm-hmm. But no, Saraya. I mean, we've already done her research. We've seen what she's working with. Not bad skills. Hey, she's adventurous. She's an adventurous type of guy.
Oh, my Lord.
But you know what I'm saying? Obviously, Saraya was going to get into the match. And the last spot, it's either going to be the Bunny, mm-hmm. who hasn't done shit in months because she's been fucking injured.
Yep.
Versus Dr. Britt Baker, I complain. All right, now, if this shit ain't the most obvious shit ever, right? Here's my thing. I'm going to predict this match right now. Britt Baker's walking out with the title. Britt Baker's winning this match. You want me to tell you why?
I kind of agree with you, but go ahead.
Because you know why?
Go ahead.
Because in 1 week... there's a pay-per-view happening, right? In Chicago, because you know when AEW needs money, where do they go, Kyle?
Well, yo, Chi-Town, baby.
Yep.
We almost lost money last week. Oh, that's all, because we got Chicago.
We're going to Chicago.
Yeah.
But here's the reason why, right? What is the biggest money women's match you could do right now in AEW?
It's got to be Britt Baker.
And there's only one other person we can talk about, and she's about to get cleared. And we're literally going to recycle another storyline that's currently going on in AEW. Nobody ever beat me for this title.
Yeah.
Too predictable. Too fucking predictable for me. Sorry. It's obvious. All out. It's going to be champion versus champion. Probably twice in one night. Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker. It's the only way they can go out of the storyline. So for me, it's like... here you go, Sheeta. You're a transitional champion. You got one title defense under your belt.
Back it up.
Yep. There you go.
Back it up.
Hey, Tony Storm. Remember that rematch you had? Yeah. Don't worry about it. You know, you don't have to do the job.
Promoter of the year.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, here you go. There's your entire booker right there.
Next.
And finally, remember that? Remember I told you how we're going to take LA Knight and Top Dollar and we're going to put them right there?
Yeah.
And then the rest of SmackDown?
Yeah.
You going?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. Let's start off at the very beginning of this show.
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair, who lost,
yeah,
versus Asuka, who lost her belt, are in a number one contenders match for the championship, right?
Yeah.
So Bianca really must be injured.
Okay.
Because she was not involved in said match. Now, during said match, right, a competition where two women are going to decide who is going to be the number one contender for the women's championship. Guess what happens?
What happens?
The women's champion, who could have just sat back and watched all of this play out, said, nah, I got friends. Well, let's jump them. Threw the whole match out of the way. So you know, in kayfabe, right, you know what that means. That means another triple threat.
Yeah.
And if Bianca comes back, a fatal four-way. So, yeah. For me, you just wasted that entire segment. What else happened? Oh! You know what? I'm going to save him for last. Let's talk about Edge and Sheamus. First and foremost, when the fuck did Edge become so boring?
A long time ago.
That was a 20-minute fucking promo about nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing happened.
Nothing.
They didn't say shit.
Nothing.
And here's the other thing, right? Remember that? Remember those numbers I told you, remember? The 11 years? Oh, it's been 15 years that we've both been in this company and we never wrestled. Motherfucker, he's been retired for 11 years! Of course you never wrestled! We're going to make that into a storyline? It's like, oh, 15 years we never wrestled. Of course, 11 of the years, one person was not there to compete. Like, this is what we're building a storyline after? Nah, fuck that. Throw that shit in the trash, too. Now, we get to my favorite part of the night. The sensational Santos Escobar. The guy who that night was fighting the who, Kyle?
The U.S. champion.
The
United States champion.
You call him the
great Austin Theory.
From Boston. Because that's what he sounds like. Like, hey, I got a championship. And you know what I want to do with this? I'm going to defend it. So Santos is doing an interview, right? Mm-hmm. What happens after the interview, Kyle? He gets attacked in the back.
What? Okay.
See, he gets attacked in the back, right? So you think it's giving him more adversity for when he wins the title. So they go to the back after. Rey Mysterio's there. He's like, don't worry. Santos is going to fight. Then the doctors, they said, yeah, you're clear to fight. Santos is sitting there. Mind you, Rey Mysterio's already in full gear. It's not like he was just in the back casually waiting to support his homie in. He already had full gear on. The referee said you can go. You're cleared to go. Adam Pearce walks in there and says, I don't think you can do it. And then you take one step and you go, ah, shit, coño, mierda. Whatever other word you want to throw out there in Spanish. I don't know the shit in Mexican, but it is what it is.
This motherfucker said it in Mexican.
I mean, he is Mexican.
Go ahead.
It's not like he's not Puerto Rican.
Continue.
All right. So this guy, first off, whoever the WWE doctors are need to be fired. Because if this motherfucker's clear and he can't walk, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. All right. So, then he says, you know what? Rey. You fight for me, and you win that title for the LWO.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where Mysterio goes and does?
Wins the title for the LWO.
He wins the title for the LWO.
He won the title for Dirty Dom, bro.
Yeah. So you mean to tell me, out of this entire tournament that we had, these four ways and another four way, and then we get to the finals of Santos and Rey, I understand Rey got injured, but you let Santos get the win because Rey was hurt. So, as payback, we got to hurt Santos so Rey could still get the win and win the title?
Yeah.
Out of all the fucking people they listed on that list, of all eight men, Rey Mysterio did not need that championship.
Not at all.
Not at all. Y'all just cucked Santos Escobar, and he took it and liked it. And he still hobbled out to the ring to celebrate. I'm done. That's my burial.
Done.
I could talk about Melly Mel's diss track a little bit longer if you want. We can replay it.
Melly Mel.
Oh boy.
In an interview with Vlad TV, you told us all that you could easily defeat Marshall Mathers in a rap battle.
Heard it with my own two ears.
Easily. Because of his mechanics and his delivery. Mm-hmm. And he's been through it. He's a pioneer. Is that what you call winning? The hood knew you won that fight? Did you put any rational thought into what you said at all? Mm-hmm. Write that down. Did you think, oh, this is tight? Why they put Pee Wee Herman in the Hall of Fame?
Pause for one second. Yes, Congo, I know to have my gear at all times. I didn't know I'm supposed to wear it. Even if I'm not booked, I'm just going to walk around in my gear. Full gear. All right, got it. But no, I understand what you're saying. Continue.
That's what you do? You say, hey, let me get in the booth and spit this fire. Rum-pum-pum. And it sounds like F. Granddad. Your mother was a fool. Your daddy was a fool.
It's a mother fool.
That shit was terrible. All right? You're in the Hall of Fame for that shit.
Oh, no. We're going to throw some more on top of that. Because remember I told you earlier that this story gets better?
Yeah.
What's the first line of that horrible song?
Expect for me to fucking know any line.
Well, lucky for you, I remember the first line of that song.
Yeah.
Which is, no apologies.
And you apologize?
This nigga apologized. He wrote a 6-paragraph essay apologizing to Eminem. He's like, look, I should have been in better coherence of my situation. I take back all the things that I said about you not contributing to the hip-hop community. It's like, bruh, you released a diss track with no response, and you already waved the white flag.
Uh-huh. Because of how bad you got roasted on the interwebs.
Again, who's your mans? Who told you that shit was okay?
Yeah, he got to go in there with you. He got to go.
Your whole crew.
Your whole crew.
And here's the other thing, right? Why, out of all people, why Marshall?
Because I'll tell you why off air.
You leave that white boy alone.
Yeah, regardless.
You could have picked on Asher Roth.
Regardless of what you may think about Eminem, he didn't get a record deal by making fucking great club bangers or putting out mix CDs that got to the right person. He made his mark in the game by destroying people on stage in rap battles in fucking Detroit when all they did was fucking battle at that point in time. And you think that's the guy that you want to get your clout off of? Good luck.
Again, like I said,
good luck.
Not just got, like, you could have picked, there are plenty of other white rappers you could have chose.
Yeah.
Like I said, Asher Roth, easy target. All right.
Any of the littles.
Yeah, any of the littles. All right. Hell, you could have picked on the ICP.
Yeah.
Like, they're the world's most hated rap group. No, you chose the top of the top. Congratulations, you played yourself. Is that it for burials?
That's it for burials.
All right. Well, speaking of burying careers, we only got one more to go.
Let's go.
It's everybody's favorite.
On the screen.
All right. More Phil, more problems. Or should I say more Phil, more rumors? Ooh.
Bruh. Phil McMahon has got to realize that the checks on Collision don't say Phil McMahon. Alright? And don't say Endeavor Straight Edge. They don't say none of that shit. This is Tony fucking Khan.
Right? Or Tony Yayo.
Whatever you want to call him. You can't tell people what building that they are welcomed in, what show that they need to be a part of. You can't do that, especially coming back from what you came back from. Dude, that's your man's. That's your man's. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. I ain't mad at him. I don't understand it. Why are people mad about this? What's wrong with being a little bit petty? All right? What's wrong with being a little, petty from time to time? You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody told... All right. First and foremost, we're going to start off with it. He should have been a burial, but we're going to start off with him. All right? Ryan Nemeth. Who are you? Homie. You're Dolph Ziggler's brother.
Yeah.
That's literally the only reason people know you.
That's it.
You ain't had to say shit. Don't matter. It's like, even I know this. If I'm a newcomer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working with vets. And Congo, you can attest to this too. Even if I don't know the vet. If I don't fuck with the vet. If he's in some shit that don't involve me, you know what I'm going to do? To quote the great Bernie Mac. Shut the fuck up. Don't say nothing.
Don't say nothing.
Don't say nothing. All right? What the fuck are you doing tweeting about CM Punk? You called this man the softest guy in pro wrestling.
He did.
And then you wondered, for 2 weeks in a row, your ass hops on your plane from Hollywood. You fly to wherever Collision is, right? You spend the night. You wake up in the morning. You show up at the building. Go the fuck home.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You got what you deserve. With all due respect, when we're talking about Phil McMahon, he kind of got what he deserved. Now, when we're talking about Matt Hardy. He's just friends with the Bucks. Maybe there's old heat there that we don't know about. It is what it is. Go on. Go on your merry way. And plus, he's not a collision guy. So, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, we obviously see he's a Dynamite guy. Christopher Daniels, though? The head of talent relations?
Yeah.
The guy that you were also, like, an early year guy of ROH with for many, many, many years?
Talking about the Fallen Angel?
For real, like, y'all really don't get along? Like, I understand he was part of the beef. I guess he was one of the people that broke it up. But I guess because, you know, Petty Punk, that's what I have to call him now, Petty Punk, because he's just petty. You know, your boy Ace Steel can't come back, so you ain't letting CD in the building? That I understand, too. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of fair. The Hangman shot. Was it uncalled for? Yes, it was uncalled for. And Punk actually, from what the report said, he did text Hangman Page and apologize for what he said, calling him a peg holder or a peg warmer or whatever. Which I guess in the world of professional wrestling with the big bucks, that it means your shit don't sell. So it is what it is when it comes to that. Now, here's the reason I can't be mad at Petty Phil. He's saying, or he's been connected to all of this stuff, right? Who has the final say?
That'll be one guy you guys like to call TC.
TC?
TK, I said TC.
Yeah.
TK. Yes, Khan is spelled with a C now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. TK.
Yes. It's Tony's fault. Why is everybody blaming Punk? He may say, I don't want this motherfucker here. But you as the boss can say,
relax.
I pay for this shit.
Yeah.
If I want him here, he's coming here.
Yeah.
You're letting... You can't be mad at Phil.
You know what? So I shouldn't call him Phil McMahon.
No.
I'm going to call him Phil Laurinaitis.
I was going to say Phil Bischoff.
Phil Bischoff?
Yeah. Because he's making all the decisions,
yeah.
But he's using Tony's checkbook.
I see.
So, all right. Yeah. So, Phil Bischoff.
Yeah, Phil Bischoff.
Phil Bischoff. You can't really... Like I said, I don't understand where... Like, I understand why people hate on Punk. But this situation, I can't blame it on him. Because he's not the final say. You mean to tell me Tony Khan is sitting right fucking there and Punk walks up to him and says, Tony, Nick Nemeth tweeted about me. I don't want him here. Don't let him in the building. Okay. Anybody else? Christopher Daniels?
By the way,
fuck him. He's bald. Matt Hardy? He trips me out. He's always telling me to delete shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to delete shit. I want more.
Yeah.
No, more. But no, like, come on. Like this, Phil. This Punk hate is gotta stop. Like you can't blame everything on Punk.
I don't like him.
Hey, you ain't gotta like him. You ain't gotta like him at all.
Are we done?
I guess. Is there anything else that you'd like to?
I would like to say, and I quote, "Almost was on Wembley." That's what he said. Almost was on the card. Wembley sold out. You're welcome. Almost versus Dirty Dom for the North American and U.S. title. Because, you know, U.S. is part of North America, so technically he's already the U.S. champion.
Aha! Technically, it means he's greater than his father.
Ever was.
You're only the champion in one country.
And this one?
And that's right.
And it ain't even your whole man.
I'm a whole continent, bitch.
It's not even your whole man. Mexico ain't in the U.S.
I'm not going to lie. I fucking love what Dom's been doing lately, man. Dominic Mysterio has been fucking on fire for a bit. And like you said, he could quite possibly be the hottest guy in the game right now. And it's sad to say that.
Okay.
I agree. But yeah.
Hey, Congo, get your ass right here one day.
Yeah. You have an open seat. But yes. Anything else? Are we good?
Hey, before we go,
yes.
Overwatch. She's overpowered.
And I got a highlight that he did on my sister.
Holy shit.
If anybody plays Overwatch, if you have the opportunity to use the new character, do it now before they update her. Because that bitch is getting nerfed. I know we talk wrestling, we talked hip-hop earlier, we're going to talk video games for a second. She should not be allowed to do what she did. What I saw Kyle do with this woman earlier in this game, was not fake. He 1v5'd an entire squad. It was headshotting everybody. Just clicking on him. Oh, that was bad. But yeah, nope, that's this week's show. We'll be back next week.
Deuces. Ooses.
All right, we'll catch y'all later.
Can I watch the highlight one more time?
Huh?